We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You know them from the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Ken and others
are acting like straight bitches.
I'm not sure who Ken is. Curtis, your one-liners suck.
Or the morning show before that.
Next, you hear from Jerry, who says, but
we have many arrangements for that, Lumpy.
And you definitely hate one of them.
That is Ken Laird.
At least.
Yeah.
It's the Ken and Curtis Show.
Ken and Curtis aren't adults.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Good weekend.
Fully vaccinated Laird man here. Curtis has been fully vaccinated for a while. And we got, this is like a repeat of 3 weeks ago, in a way.
It is.
Big Patriots news, and then Tatum has a big Friday night. You don't want to talk about it. And we have to mention, it's like a Celtics, this is Celtics history last night. 60 points and a comeback from down 32.
Tatum for the lead.
3-4-3! Thank you.
JT43. Wow, what a nickname. Great win. Tatum was phenomenal. But these games, once again, Ken, prove my point. Brad Stevens is not the coach for this team. How are you not ready to play? The fact that they can get to that ceiling when they all are playing on the same page and together shows you how infrequent it is. It's these rare occurrences where I think the fans actually last night, if there are no fans on the stand, I think they lose that game.
Well, yeah, some of the players said as much. I mean, they get booed off the court.
Right, and I actually respect Brad Stevens for what he told the team at halftime, saying that I've never been booed in this building and not deserved it, which I think is a fair point, but these are not signs that the team is coming together and winning something.
It's not?
No.
See, they're sucking me in again. Tatum is sucking me in again.
I mean,
man, you know, nobody watched the game last night. This is the most bizarre 60-point performance in NBA history. Certainly in Celtics history. There were two of them. People talk about the Bird one. It's legendary. You know, he and Dominique and the Hawks bench is like up and cheering them on. And,
right.
They're in New Orleans. Everybody remembers that. Will anybody remember this game ever?
Should they retire Tatum's jersey tonight? I mean, no, they will not remember this game. They will remember this team for how badly it underachieved. That will be the memory of this team.
Well, not if Tatum puts them on his back like this and they win a couple playoff series. I mean,
name a team in any sport that's been as inconsistent as the Celtics that won a championship.
You know, there have been teams that hated each other and have been dysfunctional that have won titles.
Of course. But dysfunction and disinterest are two very different things.
Yeah, but actually, are they not interesting? I mean,
disinterested.
The team themselves disinterested.
Right.
Well, I mean, last night they obviously bounced back. They had an unbelievable second half.
Right. It was historic.
They've put Stevens aside at halftime. I think they just decided Tatum's the coach. He's a player coach.
Okay, that's great. I'm not going to say that they sucked last night. That was awesome. Tatum was phenomenal. But you can't get down that amount of points at home when you need every win possible.
What's incredible.
Greg's stat, they have to win like 7 of 17 in order to avoid something. But, you know, they have to win these games. And you allow...
To avoid the play-in.
To avoid the play-in. And you allow these teams that are not as talented to come onto your floor and embarrass you for two quarters.
Yeah, but, like, they're captivating in a sense. Like, it's the day after the Patriots draft, rounds 2 and 3. Everybody wants to talk draft. I want to talk draft. But it's such a unique happening last night. I feel like it needs to be addressed in some form or fashion ahead of the Patriots. They are weird. They gave up 77 points in the first half.
15 million people watched the draft.
Yeah.
15 people watched last night's game.
I know. But I went back and I turned it off at halftime. I went to bed because by Friday you and I are gassed. And I'd seen Christian Barmore, and we're going to get to the Pats here in a second.
Right.
And I get up this morning and I see the headlines, so I go back and watch through it. Your guy, Scow, was unbelievable. Like, he was calling it, They're down 28 points, and he's like shouting out there, "Not, it's not over."
Okay, I have a good analogy for you, unlike Wiggy's. Do you remember the Trot Nixon home run against the A's, Game 3, 2003 ALDS?
Okay, yeah.
They capture a video of Manny pointing while Trot's up,
yep.
pointing to the bleachers. And it was heralded as, oh my God, he's Babe Ruth. He called Trot Nixon's shot. But what they didn't show are the 500 times he did that before, and nobody hit a home run. So Scal, every game, thinks that the Celtics are going to come back.
Yeah, I know, but like he was yelling at his own like teammates and being like, "This game's not over." I love the way they're playing. They're down 28 in the second half, and he's like, "This game." Look at Tatum; he's inspired, and Tatum gets a foul call with 10:55 to go in the fourth. They're down 105-93, totally bogus call. And Scal says, "You woke up the sleeping giant." Sure enough, he comes down, he dunks it, step back three and one. Like, hits another one from the corner. It was a fun watch.
Up until that point, did Scal rip the sleeping giant for not being awake?
No. But you got all of Perk. Perk at intermission just didn't say anything. At one point, the camera was on him. He didn't respond to Abby. Just dead silence.
Was Abby crying at halftime?
Oh, she was happy. She was pointing out the positives.
Oh, my God.
Pritchard had a good three.
I really have nothing against the players on the Celtics. I don't. They seem like, you know, Jason Tatum is a stud. Great. Whatever. The people that cover them make the team less likable. Because it's just this bizarre, like, middle school AAU team vibe that they have. That they can't rip the players. If you rip anyone within the Celtics, the people, the Celtics mafia on Twitter will, like, beat you down.
Yeah, but they got booed at the half at the Garden. So those are green teamers that were fed up, had reached their limit.
Okay, when they're down 30, they boo. Okay, like, that's what happens.
Well, as you said, without them. They don't come back and win the game.
Absolutely not. They don't. But I
and you're right. Nobody watched it. We're talking about a game that nobody saw.
Right.
60-point tied Bird, most points in Celtics history. Nobody watched it. Zero people
did, and it didn't mean anything in the long run.
Well, I mean, they're the sixth seed now. They're out of the play-in.
Okay. Where are the green teamers?
Thank you.
you
and I led on a Patriots Saturday after the draft with Celtics. Because of me, mostly.
If I had any power here, I'd fire myself.
Yeah, you do have power here now. You're the co-current acting program director with Greg Hill.
We're a huge part of the new PD.
We're
talking to him after he's hired. But anyway, so I thought...
Was Tatum 60 better than Bird? 617-779-7937. Whose was the better 60?
Nick, get Butch in. I got to go home. Honestly.
I think it was more impressive. Despite being overtime... You come back, you put the team on your back like that, the adversity faced, Tatum 60 better than Birds. Text to 37937.
You know what my biggest regret in life is? It's not the fact that I nearly died because I was a raging alcoholic. It is the fact that I wasn't alive when Wilt scored 100. I would have just done anything to be in that room.
Yeah, well, they gave him the 60, like the Wilt.
So pathetically awful.
I liked it.
What happened to you?
I was watching it this morning and into it.
Are you sure this vaccine isn't messing with your mind?
It could be. It could be a COVID fog still. I don't know. I'm sure I had it.
Did you get it at Wick's house?
Yeah. When he scored 53, they started to suck me back in a little bit. Then they beat Phoenix. They held Booker to 15.
But that's so stupid. Who cares about individual point totals?
Is it a star-driven league?
Yes.
So could Tatum become a true elite superstar that puts a team on his back in the playoffs
this season?
That's scoring 60 a game here and there.
This season?
Yes.
No.
He just scored 53 3 weeks ago. Now he scored 60 to lead them back from the second largest halftime deficit overcome in NBA history.
Give me a second. Let me look up all the teams they lost to in this period where they needed wins. The team is not worthy of people watching it.
I think Tatum is worthy.
Okay, but you know what Tatum's going to do? Mark my words, he's going to win multiple titles in a different city. He is not going to win championships in Boston. And he's a great player. I love people who do alley-oops and dunks and high fives. It's all great. I hope Scal is still 6 to midnight. But the fact is that that performance in the first half is all you need to know about a team that you think may have the ability to run the table in the playoffs.
I can't explain the first half. I can explain it. They played zero defense at all. It was just like it was unreal.
So, but what? Why is that? Why do they have the inability to be ready to go?
It's Stevens. I agree with you. Their coach is obviously missing the trigger to inspire this team.
So you know what the 60 points did last night? Gave Stevens job security.
No,
this team wins, they are not going to be getting rid of Brad Stevens.
Nope.
And they need.
Who did they respond to last night? They responded to Tatum, not Stevens.
Okay.
And the crowd.
Okay. Do you believe that Wick and Danny give no credit last night to Brad Stevens for the team's comeback? They literally praise him on every outlet at every occasion. You're going to think this one they're going to blame him?
I think at halftime when they've allowed 77, they know something's wrong. That sunk in last night. And that doesn't go away when they come back just because they have a superstar that they drafted.
Okay, I think Brittany Baldessari knows something is wrong when you're down 77 to whatever in the first half.
This is for 60 in the game.
There it is. That was the legendary call, the free throw. That'll go down in Boston sports history. It will. And nobody saw it.
What are you talking about?
No, not one person watched it.
Are you comparing Tatum to Bird now? Or are you saying that he's like supplanted
him? He scored 60 points.
Who cares?
Now, this is the repeat of 3 weeks ago when I said 53.
And who was right three weeks ago?
It is historic.
Who was right three weeks ago?
I was.
How?
Because Tatum now has scored 60, and he's showing you it's in there, and he repeatedly has this. It was not a fluke.
You know why everybody hated Manny at times was because he didn't maximize his potential. Okay?
Manny didn't?
At times when he was not willing to play or come back from a hammy or whatever.
Okay.
I'm not comparing. Manny's 20 times the... He's a Hall of Famer.
He was juiced out of his mind.
Juiced out of his mind.
That changes everything.
A great player. Anyway, I can't stand teams or players that do not give max effort most of the time.
But Tatum did. He was the one guy in the first half that was still playing. He's the only reason they scored like any points in the first half.
So then your point is moot because you said that they'll get rallied by Tatum and he'll put the team on his back.
Well, he did.
What happened in the first half?
Well, in the first half, he kept them in it somewhat. I mean, they were down 30. There's only so much he could do there.
Wait, how did he keep the team in the game somewhat?
He scored like 15 points in the first quarter.
Okay, they were outscored in the first quarter 39-16.
Yeah, and he had like 15 of the 16, didn't he?
And then
my sub has bacon.
And the second quarter, they were outscored by 6. So, I don't know. Call me crazy.
Well, all right.
It's frustrating to watch this team because they do not maximize their potential.
Well,
the sum
of
their parts is worth more than what the team is.
The sum of their parts is worth more is actually less. I mean, it's just about Tatum now. And I guess Nesmith is coming along because he had a good second half.
So you think that as a collective unit, they're better than the sum of their parts?
No, I thought that's what you just said.
Sum of the parts.
They're terrible. I mean, they're erratic. They have no chance to win a title, I don't think. But Tatum is captivating enough that he is worth watching.
Through 64 games.
And they should fire the coach.
Good. Through 64 games, they're 34-30. And you're like, banner 18, let's go.
No, I just said, I don't think
Kim Janney, can we get the cones out?
No, I didn't say that. Tatum's night was historic, and we should mention it. I mean, it's got to be mentioned on the show before we get into 3 hours of Pat's talk. That's all. And is it better than
Bird's
performance? 617-779-7937.
Performance. When was that even? That was like 90?
85.
Oh, jeez. I was one.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's alive saw that either, I guess.
My biggest regret is that I only saw Larry Bird live lying on the bench with a bad back. But
you're welcome to call on that. Again, it's talking about things that nobody saw. So let's get to your Patriots. What is stunning, Curtis, as yesterday they take Christian Barmore and Ronnie Perkins after the Mac Jones Thursday. This is I don't know if this is 100% true. I think they have given Patriots fans everything they wanted. This is a bizarro world, Pats, in the sense that they just came off a free agency where they did the unthinkable. They spent $175 million guaranteed money, and everybody was happy. And now they went into the draft and did pretty much what, Wiggy aside, pretty much what every Pats fan would have hoped that they did.
Absolutely.
And they pulled it off. So is this Belichick actually changing his stripes? Is this Kraft stepping in to force it? What is this that we're seeing?
I have to say, listening around yesterday, I was shocked at the media's reaction to the Mac Jones selection. There were so many people saying that, like, Bill didn't want to draft him. He just fell in their lap and they couldn't do anything about it. Like, I don't know. I think that there's times when the media and the fan base are totally opposite. And I think this is one of those occasions.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I've ripped Bill a million times.
You hate Bill.
But
you're deranged.
He's had a great offseason. A+. And the fact that people say, like Wiggy yesterday, that they didn't care who came to them, whether it was Fields or Jones, is so laughably wrong. Tom Curran, who is dead ass accurate, when it came to uncharacteristically aggressive offseason.
Yep.
Was played by the Patriots. It happens. He should have done what he did, which is report what they told him. But he was burying Mac Jones.
Yep. Second-round talent.
Second-round talent, not ready for prime time, a product of the Alabama system.
And that sucked me in because I on shows the last couple weeks, I said, I believe Curran has great intel. He's hearing that the Patriots don't like Mac Jones at all.
And he was saying that Jimmy G is a fait accompli. He's yep. going to be coming here, and it's over. And what happened was the Patriots put out the misinformation, knew Mac was slipping, and if they really wanted to go up and get Fields at 11, all that would have been needed is the 15th pick and their second-round pick in return for the 11th pick and the third-round pick of that team. So you're talking
well,
about...
Well, hold on. We don't know that for sure. Because if they got into a bidding war with Chicago, didn't they give up a first and a fourth?
It's where the picks were, that would have been the equal... I don't want to go into the minutia of the Jimmy Johnson...
You don't have to go into the minutia of like the draft value chart, but just if you're trading out of that spot, if you're the Giants, is it that much more important to you to have the 15th pick rather than the 20th, or do you want that first-round pick the next year? So if they really wanted to go to 11, they may have had to get into a bidding war beyond a second-round pick.
Okay, so maybe you're talking about a second-round pick and Stephon Gilmore.
Okay, well, that's significant. That's a big difference. But well, yeah.
Without
okay.
the first-round pick.
Oh, when you keep your pick at 15?
Right.
No, okay. Come on.
Whatever. It doesn't. I don't want to get through this. Basically, the Patriots had plenty of ammunition had they wanted to trade
had
up.
Had they wanted to, yes.
To get Justin Fields.
Yeah.
They stayed at 15 because their plan all along was to get Mac Jones. They love the guy. And everything I read about him makes me like him more. He speaks three languages.
That's why you like him more?
He's got this incredible work ethic. He's a guy that it is... he's the reason I love football and I love Tom Brady. Tom Brady had none of the measurables. People couldn't evaluate how he would be on a roster and making those around him better. And no position in sports like the quarterback is like the quarterback position where you elevate. Look at Brady last year in Tampa Bay. And I am fascinated, to steal a word from Jerry, for the next 10 years of watching the beginning of a new era of Patriots football.
So you think he's really good and will be a 10-year quarterback with the team?
Either way, if he sucks, I'm wrong. And it's interesting because then they have to blow the whole thing up. Or if he's great, we have good football for the next decade.
Yeah,
either
but actually, if he sucks, they didn't give up that much. It's just another N'Keal Harry-type first-round bust. It's not like the franchise is set back that far.
Right.
And then you can still get Jimmy G
okay.
next year.
That is not going to happen. But
if Mac Jones sucks, will they not be in on Jimmy G next year?
I can't imagine after 1 year.
We know about Stidham after a year.
He was a fourth round pick.
So what? You found out about him. He played a couple games and you're like, all right, he is what he is. He's Hoyer.
So you think Bill will admit to the world that he was wrong about the 15th pick after one season?
I bet you once you get him in your system and McDaniels works with him and you have a whole year of him and he'll play some games. I mean, he's going to get in for some action this year, right? He's supposedly pro-ready.
Well, you just said if he's playing like crap, then they're not going to put him in games. They're going to have Cam play.
Okay, so whatever. Either way, you found out about him, and I don't think Jimmy G is... I will admit Garoppolo's done for the year. Charlie Weiss was on yesterday and just shut me down.
Right.
So it's not going to happen this year. But I think next year it's still on the table, and that's maybe work out perfectly because maybe the Niners will keep him to play this year and groom up Trey Lance. But back to your original point about Mac Jones. You think maybe there's a possibility he's a 10-year success?
Yes, absolutely.
Because he's got an incredible work ethic.
He's ready-made for this offense. His best trait is that he's accurate.
Yep.
Within the McDaniels-Belichick system, accuracy is paramount. That's why they like Brady over Bledsoe. And you have an incredibly talented roster that is deep. You have one of the best offensive lines in football. So that the need for the quarterback to be elusive in the pocket isn't quite as much needed this season with the way they brought back Andrews and everybody they traded for Brown, all that. The offensive line is a strength. So you have Damian Harris, who had a pretty good year last year. You have James White back. You have Jonnu Smith. You mm-hmm. have Aguilar. You have Kendrick Bourne. You have Hunter Henry.
Yep.
It's going to be a fun team to watch. And it's a great time for me because it's going to be these two simultaneous events going on. One, Brady's potential final year, his last-ditch effort to go back-to-back and end his career with 8 Super Bowl wins.
Yep.
And then you have the Patriots at the ground floor, seemingly turning over a new leaf, building towards another championship. So it's going to be totally different teams, but both equally entertaining to me.
So you were a hater, you were a skeptic, but what they've done has, this is to my point, the Patriots have, like, for the first time ever, they have appealed to their fan base and done everything you would have wanted them to do, except unless you were a Justin Fields fan like Wiggy is. So Wiggy is, like, conflicted. He's happy they took a, even he doesn't hate what they've done. He just kind of would have preferred them trading up to get Fields.
He was rattled yesterday.
He was rattled, but he, in the end, he's happy they took a first-round quarterback. That's all he was screaming about.
Right. But
so I think everybody's pretty happy. Like, are there any gripes?
That's what shocked me yesterday, is I don't have any gripes. I don't understand. All my friends, we were doing the text thread during the draft. Everybody's ecstatic. I think Patriots fans finally have taken a deep breath. This is where we're headed. For the last year plus since Brady left, it's been a disaster up until free agency this year. And now there's trust in Bill. There's trust in the team. And we heard a new Bill last night during the press conference following their final pick a little after midnight. According to Mike Reese, the night before, Bill had been asked by Phil Perry to sort of discuss their evaluation. You know, do they have grades? How do they evaluate talent? And how do they sort of come to a agreement on who to draft?
Yeah.
And Bill last night, after the draft, after he'd already completed the questions during this Zoom, he says, is Phil on? And somebody said, no, he's not on. And so he began to restate Phil Perry's question and went on for like a couple minutes describing how they have like a color-coded chart. Each color has a different meaning. I mean, you can tell the crafts.
They spoke to him after day one.
They said, we need a softer Bill with the media.
Whoa, open your world to the media Bill.
I mean,
so what is happening?
I have no idea. But
Jesus. And then they had that two-minute production that they put out after, on draft night, right as the pick is happening, you see three people in there, Bill and
Patricia
and Burge, I think it was.
Yeah.
I thought at first it was Jonathan Kraft, but I think that was Burge. But anyway, then you get the two-minute, almost like it was a recreation. It might have been totally fake. Do you think they were actually had Mac Jones on the phone where Bill is asking people, are you okay with the pick? Are you all right with the pick? He's talking to people. He doesn't know their names. He's like, what's your name again? Are you okay that we take Mac Jones?
He asked Mick Lombardi for his input, and then he said, okay, good. We'll go with that. But yeah, it was, it's been
PR conscious Patriots.
It is. And I think this is the Jonathan ascension. And I think that this is a team that is cognizant of the damage done last year, not only with Brady leaving, because many people agree with you that it was Brady's decision, it wasn't Bill's, but the inability to replace him with anybody that could throw a ball, and Brady's Super Bowl run really sort of shook the fan base. And now I think, in a very brief amount of time since the second the legal tampering period began,
yep,
it's been nothing but good news for Patriots fans.
All right, so the question, I guess, is, do you have any gripes about what the Pats have done this offseason? Is it an A+? 617-779-7937. If you have anything to complain about, what is it? What's going to be the second guess this year? Will it be Justin Fields and his performance in Chicago? Will it be Jimmy G on the field in San Francisco? We should have gone after Jimmy G, because I sort of feel that way, but then again, I think Mac Jones he's got a chance to be pretty good too. So, I mean, it's hard to bitch about anything that they have done.
The only thing that will be a real pain in the side of Patriots fans is if Cam starts out poorly and the hook doesn't come.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be a real issue, because it's still true that Belichick has a soft spot for Cam. We saw that after night one of the draft.
Well, and that's not congruent either. That gets to the point of, was this Bill's plan all along? Like you said, their most important feature of a quarterback is accuracy. Well, then how do you explain his love for Cam and his decision to bring him in last year? Was that just desperation? And Bill had a season which he knew going in was going to be a throwaway and didn't care? But then how do you explain Cam back this year so quickly?
The free agent period started with horrible news, because that Friday, before legal tampering period,
right.
They re-signed him. And the initial numbers were like $14 million, but they were all wrong, and we all lost our minds.
Except Reese had said it's going to be Cam and.
Right. And like now
so he wasn't lying, right?
Nope.
They had a plan.
Yep.
Although the plan, and this I think is the most important intel that we've gotten so far, is from Burt Breer. And I want to read that intel coming up, because I think it speaks to really, it gets to the heart of, did they have a plan or did they just kind of luck out? I mean, just pull this one out of their ass. But anyway, we'll get to that on the way. It's Ken and Curtis. Big show today. We've got Ben Volen back from Cleveland, and he'll be in at noon today to recap the draft. The third and fourth rounds, fourth through seventh rounds start at noon today. So maybe we'll get a pick coming in there. Their fourth round pick is the 15th of that round in the noon hour. But just would love your reaction to what the Pats have done. 617-779-7937. And, of course, Tatum 60, which Curtis is mocking.
There's a 30 for 30 coming up tonight.
Let's get to what's trending.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
To more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
He's coming from obviously a program that you respect. How much does performance in big games at that position matter to you?
You know, I think I've said this multiple times, Phil, like everything matters. So try to take everything into consideration. You know, I don't know. Do you think Kyle Duggar played in any big games last year? I don't know. I mean, they weren't national championship games, but we evaluate the games that they played in. Some guys played in them, some guys didn't. Some guys played at, you know, FBS school, some guys didn't. Some guys played in Power 5 school, some guys didn't. Some guys came out early, some guys didn't. Some guys opted out, some guys didn't. Some guys were injured and missed time, some players didn't.
So that was Bill after night one, after the Mac Jones pick, and that's classic Bill, going back and forth with Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston. Ken and Curtis here, by the way, on your 1st of May. But Curtis mentioned that Reese had reported last night, basically Bill did his version of apologizing, right, and went into detail with Perry about their draft boards and their grades and things like that.
Not even with Perry. So 12:30 a.m. last night, according to Mike Reese, Belichick finished answering his final question on the Zoom. And then he asked if Phil Perry was on the line, and I want, you know, whether it was Mike or someone else, said no. He said, well, Phil asked yesterday.
You know, Phil asked a question yesterday about the grading. And
oh, there it is. Do we have the audio?
It's 4 minutes of Bill talking about grading.
Oh, okay. So, maybe we'll play it later in the show, but summarize, Curtis, as to what he said.
Basically, he went and spoke at length about, in a detailed way, how they have a color system where certain colors mean different things. And that they utilize those to come to a decision on who they're going to draft.
Which is pretty much every team in the NFL. You see the draft boards up there.
Right. If this were any other coach, it would not even be worth bringing up. He probably would never play the cut. But the fact is that it's Belichick, a night after he was snippy with Phil Perry, which is just usual Bill, he brings up, it's 12:30 at night. He's probably exhausted. You know, you've had a whole long day.
Yeah.
You've been dealing with, you know, Nick Caserio, I mean, not Nick Caserio, Burge Najarian and Mick Lombardi and whoever else is talking your ear off in the war room. And he asks if a reporter is on the line, which I can tell you, I have never heard that happen.
That's a great. I mean, and he says, that's turning a corner, Bill.
And this is a new PR push from the organization. They have their quarterback and they have what appears to be, by all accounts, you go to ESPN, you go to CBS, SI, FMIA, whatever, they get an A, according to everybody.
And among most importantly, among the Patriots fan base, their whole offseason has been an agenda-driven, let's get people back on our side. It has felt that way from the jump.
It began with that cringe-inducing video of Stick With Us.
Yeah.
And
right after Brady's Super Bowl. Right,
which seemed oddly timed and kind of weird for this team. But it's been, since Brady won the Super Bowl, it's been nothing but good news for Patriots fans.
And then I think even night two, their picks in rounds 2 and 3, we'll get to those guys coming up a bit, but I think that's totally, that is red meat for Pats fans, right? They love that stuff. It's not a corner. It's not some small school guy that they traded back for. They went up to get a Bama guy, and then they have a pass rusher. Like, this is the next Lawrence Taylor, maybe, or something like that.
March 17th, 2020, up until the Friday before the legal tampering period, the Patriots were passive. They were just sort of, we're going to deal with it. You know, Belichick told Weiss, it's a reset button. And that has come to fruition. Since that point, they have been aggressively targeting people that they think will fit their scheme. They were the most active team in free agency. They were, you know, the most active team in day two, you know, being aggressive, taking the first defensive tackle in the second round. That's crazy.
Yeah, and I think if you're a Pats fan, you got to be happy that they're telling you. They didn't come out and were not vocal about it themselves, necessarily. They spread the message through the media that covers them that they approve of. But at least they've done as they have said they would do. You know, they said this is what we're doing, and they went out and did it. They lived up to every expectation. Now, I think this is the most important intel, though, so far. This is from Bert Breer at SI about Thursday night. Jimmy Garoppolo, they didn't get overly aggressive on Thursday night. One team they talked to in the top 10 called them ahead of picking, and their basic response about having an interest in trading up was, quote, we're good, end quote. And similarly, when the Giants were on the clock at 11 and the Bears were ready to come up for Justin Fields, the New York brass, helmed by Belichick's old boss John Mara and with a New England coach in Joe Judge, didn't so much as get a phone call from Foxborough. And in the end, Alabama's Mac Jones, a central casting fit for the Belichick offense, Josh McDaniels, Charlie Weiss, and the Bill O'Brien offense for the last 20 years, did indeed slip to them. Had Jones not slipped, don't know what the Patriots would have done. Maybe they would have gotten more aggressive on Garoppolo at that time. But that says it all, Wiggy. They did not want Justin Fields. They had no interest in him. And Mac Jones, I don't know if you can say he was their guy. I don't think they were so in love with him that they were going to mortgage the future. That's pretty obvious. But they certainly didn't hesitate to pull the trigger. What is it, 3 minutes, and he was taken.
It was immediate. It was decisive. And like everything else, it seems to have a plan behind it. And I don't understand how anybody, fan or media, can look at that the last, whatever it's been, month and a half since free agency, and say that the team gets anything other than an A for everything they've done.
Only if you think Mac Jones is junk. If you just think he's another Bama quarterback, another SEC quarterback that'll fail, that's a product of a system. You mentioned all his great qualities, you know, the incredible work ethic. I would say yes, but the body and also the DUI, right? So it's not like he's does not have red flags on the draft report. I mean, there are some.
He's Jay Barker. He's AJ McCarron. He's Colt McCoy.
That is incredible. That's Curran before the draft.
I mean, he was played, man.
He was like a fiddle, but I mean, you got to respect the Patriots there. So if they wanted misinformation out, Tom got duped, I think. And fine, you know.
Good
on the Patriots again.
The only person worth listening to during any offseason is Lombardi. Everybody else has the potential of being played.
And even Lombardi, I think, could be played. They haven't done it yet.
Right.
They haven't. They feel bad for him. You know, they're just like, all right, Mike, we're not
going to. Does he, like, live with Belichick? Where is he?
I don't know. He's always on this. We get this the bet show, and he's always on there.
Always.
It's incredible.
At all hours of the day.
All right, to the phones we go. You're in Kenny Curtis. Steve in Sudbury. Hi, Steve.
What's up, guys? Let me tell you something. You 2-1 on Saturdays is probably one of the best things that's happened to this radio station, honestly.
Oh, thanks, man.
I think if you had Andy Hart in there, it would help you guys out a little bit because I really like Andy a lot. Anyways, I want to get to the point. I think Belichick had this in mind the whole time. I think it was almost like the Matt Light thing where if someone's going to come and pick you, let me know with a phone conversation. I think Belichick really, really liked this kid. And I said it 2 months ago that he's going to go after this kid. And everything I've seen on film impresses me. His throws are so accurate, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just getting your thought.
And the only question of that is, Steve, is his pocket like so clean he had no – but he made some throws under pressure. He played the SEC, right?
He did, and there have been a lot of players that have come out unprovoked saying that he was better than Tua. They like him better than Tua. You had Shaq Barrett yesterday tweeting out he's going to be the best QB taken in the draft.
Right.
And you had Devontae Smith, when he was asked, that he preferred Mac to Tua.
I was watching I don't know what Alabama game it was this morning on at like 5 o'clock this morning.
They won, I'm sure.
And I was just watching the kid, and he's, he's a quarterback. That's all he can say.
Yep. And Charlie Weiss was all over it. Thanks, Steve. In February when he joined us. So maybe you're right. Maybe Mac was their guy the whole time. But if he was their guy, God, Belichick's poker face. Do you to Steve's point? Do you think like he had an arrangement with Mac or with Saban that if somebody calls him in the green room, he calls Bill and lets him know so they can then go up and get aggressive?
Would you put anything past Bill?
I guess
this is the most important decision he will make for the rest of his life. This draft pick. You're not going to be in the middle of the first round again. You're not going to be coaching for 100 more years. You need this offseason, and the most important part of this offseason was finding a quarterback, whether it was Jimmy G via trade or in the draft. He and Saban are best friends. And Saban, just like Bill, when he traded Jimmy G to San Fran, because it was reflective on him the way Jimmy G would perform, and he wanted to get him to a team that would bring out the best in him. That's what Saban could be doing with Mac Jones.
Let's go to Mike and Framingham. Hi, Mike.
Hey, you know what? These people that are complaining that the Patriots didn't trade up to get Mac Jones, are you going to lower their grade because they got more value? That makes no sense. So you're going to penalize the Patriots because they got like Brady in the sixth round? They should have got him in the first?
I guess it's more of just, was Bill so in love with this guy, Mike, that he would have traded if he had to? Do you believe that?
None of us know. That's all speculation. But the fact that people are complaining, that's the thing that drives me nuts. Like, are you kidding me?
Now, Mike, do you believe the video? Did you see the 2-minute video the Patriots put out of the draft room right before they talked to Mac?
No, I didn't.
So they're in there, and Bill's asking everybody, are you okay with this? And it doesn't look like a guy who is so, like, giddy. Not that I expect Bill to be jumping up and down or whatever, but it's just like he's asking, are you all right with this? Are we on board with this? It's not. It doesn't look like somebody who had gotten their guy 1,000%.
But I think that has more to do with his respect for Cam than it does his feelings on Mac. I think if he's dancing around the draft room when he drafts the guy that's going to replace Cam, it kind of looks poorly upon him.
Yeah, I guess.
And I think
his name, but he was a D lineman from Miami. We had him a few years ago. He's our best interior defensive lineman we had. It's going to drive me nuts. But he fell down to the Patriots.
Wilford?
And the Patriots, was that? Wilford, yes. Wilford, he fell down to the Patriots. Patriots didn't expect to get him. So would you complain that the Patriots didn't trade up to get him when he fell in their lap?
Right, it's idiotic. They got him. And we're going to all know, Mike, whether he's good or not. So we'll all be able to judge the pick based on what he does on the field. But at this point, this is the first time ever at any stop that Belichick has used a first-round pick on a quarterback. And
for obvious reasons.
Right.
So, and Mike, thanks for the call. So you're saying you're buying in, Curtis. Chris Curtis is buying in that this was the plan the whole time.
I'm about
2 years ago.
I'm about to make a fool of myself, but work with me here. I guess I don't need to preface that. I do that easily on my own.
Please do.
So what don't you want to do? You don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy. You want to be the guy that replaces the guy who already replaced the guy.
That's what I said last year when they signed Cam.
So here it is. Could you imagine? They bring Cam as like a human shield, and he just goes out and craps the bed every week. And then they get Mac Jones at 15, and everybody's going to be like, hallelujah. He can throw the ball with some semblance of accuracy.
So it was perfect pincushion planning.
I don't know.
Cam Newton, perfect.
I don't know if it was the plan, but it looks damn good this morning.
It looks damn good, and I would go so far to say, Curtis, and I know you're not going to like to hear this. They are, they are better off if Mac Jones is 10 years good than have had Brady for another couple years. If they're better off now. This plan was better than the keep Brady plan because Tom wanted to be paid. As you keep saying, he deserved to be paid, top of the market. Well, that changes everything. Now you're paying him all this money. Now you don't have these Matt Judons and Jonnu Smiths and Hunter Henrys. Now you got Brady hanging on to the last vestiges of Jacoby Myers, and they don't win anything. Now you had a reset year. You got a guy It really is a better Bill is a genius. This is much better than keeping Brady. It is.
No, you need to maximize your time with the greatest of all time.
And not if he's going to be like that. Not with that attitude.
Okay, I disagree on that. I mean, I agree with you up to a point. I think Patriots fans would want Brady to win all his titles here and then begin the rebuild instead of ending it prematurely while watching Tom Brady, while watching your team go under 500 and embarrass the fan base, simultaneously seeing Brady going to win his seventh Super Bowl.
All right, well, more calls on this, obviously, as the show goes on. The Belichick plan and your reaction to the Mac Jones pick.
And, Ken, I want to get wide receivers. A lot of people want to know about the wide receivers. Is there going to be a good guy for the Pats today, fourth round, fifth round?
There's a lot that have gone off the board, a ton.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about the guys they did take in rounds 2 and 3 as well. It's Ken and Curtis on EEI.
You're listening to, and we're sorry, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
With Christian Barmore, what did you see for him athletically for his size, and then also just his ability as a pass rusher?
He's shown good ability as a pass rusher. Again, that's a high quality, high level of football in the SEC, and he's rushed from, as I said, kind of across the front. But he has a good knack, good instincts, and good quickness for his size to be able to do that, and can play with length on the running game. Again, I think there's, he hasn't played, a ton of football. He's, he's been a productive player for Alabama, but, more so this year than in 19.
There's Bill last night, Ken Curtis. That's Christian Barmore's analysis from Belichick. The 38th pick in the draft, 6th pick of the second round. And Curtis, again, back to the PR-conscious Patriots, all right? I mean, I'm sure they did love Barmore. Hell, Bill, that's the only pro day Bill went to. But if you're a Pats fan, don't you love this again? It's like not a deep, it's not a defensive back.
Nope.
And they traded up to get him. They traded 2 fours to go get a big school guy who is a Saban guy. I know they've had some failures with Alabama players, period.
Yeah, it's not a great list, but
you have a list there, right? I mean, you should write it a little off.
I don't have it in front of me. I'll get it in a minute. But Dante Hightower, clearly worked out. And Damian Harris, you could say, worked out.
Yeah, and it's, correct me if I'm wrong, the first defensive tackle to go in the draft.
Yep.
A guy who was in the mix to be a first-round pick when they took, at 15. He was a name that was out there.
And there was some stuff floated about him and, I think, a work ethic or something. I don't know exactly what it was, but obviously Bill didn't care.
Yeah, well, the intel that I've got, redshirt sophomore, first-team All-SEC, third-team All-American this past year. So as Bill said, he still has some work to do. He's from Philly. But all in all, 12 games, 8 sacks, 3 forced fumbles. He was the defensive MVP in the national title game. 2 tackles for loss in that game. I actually remember Herb Street or one of those guys saying Barmore's unstoppable, or he's having – so people know him. Like, one of the few games that I watched, it was a name that I knew.
I watch the SEC games on Saturday, 3:30, the CBS package, and almost, every other week it's an Alabama game at least. And Mac Jones was just pinpoint, big third downs, people around him. He was excellent, and who knows – there have been a lot of guys that look awesome in college that suck in the pros. It's a totally inexact science, but I like the fact that what Mac's strengths are strengths that will carry into the NFL. Intelligence, accuracy. Those are the two most important things in the Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels offensive system, and those are things that are innate. You have that or you don't.
And Barmore, by the way, said Mac Jones is, quote, my guy, so he obviously loves him. What was weird was he was asked about Anthony Jennings, who was their pick last year. Didn't comment on him on 2 separate occasions. He didn't. So I don't know if they hate each other or we just got an oversight or whatever. And then in the third round, 33rd pick of the third round, 96th overall, Ronnie Perkins, 6'2", 253, edge rusher from Oklahoma, described as an undersized defensive end, bought 11.5 sacks in his last 19 games, Curtis. Pretty productive. He only had 5 starts. He got suspended for smoking weed, but who cares about that? 3-year player there from St. Louis, Missouri, his hometown, and looks like he's got it's another guy to add to the Winovich Uche collection. And just in general, again, if you're a Pats fan, don't you love those 2 selections on night 2?
It's absolutely.
I don't know who would complain about that.
And I feel like that, just like the free agency when they acted quickly and people were immediately put at ease in a way, getting Mac in your first pick of the first night, I think, caused everybody to take a deep breath.
Everybody except Jake in Boston, who I think is not a fan. We'll get to him in a moment. And also, I think Ordway is a skeptic. So Wiggy's a skeptic because he wanted Fields, and I think Ordway was calling him a bridge quarterback. We'll get to that sound maybe a little bit later.
He's just pissed that Jimmy G's not coming back.
And contrarian Jake from Boston is not a fan either, I guess. Hello, Jake?
No, you're wrong, Ken. You're wrong. I do like the guy.
Oh, okay.
I have 2 points, one on the draft room, one on Mac Jones, and I'll start with Mac, whom I do like. I watch a lot of SEC football. He makes good throws, doesn't make mistakes, but he's a trust fund baby that needs to be thrown in the mud a little bit. And you can learn a lot about these players from their wives and girlfriends. And the two kids they drafted last night, you don't see any, no wags in their Instagram account. Mac Jones is a little bit different. Met his girlfriend at Sophie Scott 9. You better start following it because you're going to learn a lot.
Instagram
during
influencer.
Summer,
yeah.
Correct. Summer athletic training internship they met. So Bob Kraft obviously loves this girl already. She won an internship in orthopedics. She won an internship in orthopedics. She's actually smart.
Jake, I have a question. How in God's name does this have any relevance to what Mac Jones does on the football field, that his wife is an orthopedic intern? I have no idea what you're talking
about. Well, you know, what happened to Mr. Stidham last year when he ran off to Houston with his girlfriend who had 20 bridesmaids and is high maintenance and is trying to be an influencer? Took him down. So what you need to do with this woman is you need to set her up with an internship at Spalding. Keep her busy. Otherwise, she becomes Kennedy Stidham.
Okay. Jake is obsessed with the wife. He mentions Linda every call. Or wives, girlfriends, etc. I mean,
what does the occupation of the spouse of the quarterback have anything to do with what he does on the field?
In his defense, we brought up Kennedy Stidham a lot on the Greg Hill Show this past year.
Because it was funny.
It was funny.
It was good
yeah.
content.
Right, but, you know, her... She had Jared out at a lot of locations taking photos. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't really impact things.
You know who's whipped more than anybody? Tom Brady. So, I mean.
Not really, because he said his marriage was in trouble at one point.
Okay.
Well, gotten far be it for me to defend Brady.
Do you think he runs that house, or do you think Giselle does?
Now I think Giselle does.
Okay.
But at some point, when Brady was at his best, he admitted he got a little bit too infatuated with the game.
He was at his best last season.
Yeah, he was not. Defense carried him. Bill in Newton. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Ken. How are you? Or should I call you Jerry Thornton Jr.? Because that's what you sound like these days, and I'm not going to let you corrupt Curtis's mind as you try to bring him over to your side.
All right.
Here was the plan last year. The plan was, I'm the greatest coach of all time. I don't need Brady. I'm signing the scrap heap, a.k.a. Cam Newton, and I'm going to show all you people how good I am as a coach, and we're going to win. And then it fell apart miserably, and the plan changed because Bill all of a sudden said, I guess I got to draft a quarterback. And that is what the original plan was.
But wait, Bill. Do you really think Bill Belichick thought Cam was going to be the answer? Do you really believe that?
Yes, because he could have drafted up and got Hebert last year, who was way better than Mac Jones is going to be. You keep saying Mac Jones is the plan. He only had five, six starts under his belt last year going into this year.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones was not – there was no plan, Ken. It was Cam Newton, I'll win with him, and I'll figure it out 3 or 4 years down the road. And then he realized, I guess it isn't bigger than one player, and if you don't have a quarterback, you cannot win. So he reluctantly had to draft Mac Jones, and in 4 or 5 years, if this kid's good, he's going to have to pay him, and that's going to make it even worse for him.
Well, that's
Belichick
true.
Blew it.
I don't know. I might be going to Jake's side a bit here. Jess just sent me a screen grab of Mac Jones.
Of Sophie.
And Sophie at Topgolf. And they look.
Definitely have. I follow her on Instagram now.
I wasn't talking about that. She seems like a lovely lady.
But back to his point about Mac Jones. I don't think Mac Jones was in Bill's mind 2 years ago. I don't think he knew that he was going to draft Jones specifically.
Of course not.
But you can't say that Cam was his actual plan. That's not true.
Here's the issue, okay? I ripped Bill because last year sucked and because Brady still played at a high level and won a Super Bowl. And I hated the fact that my favorite athlete of all time had to leave town and win a title elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I think I'm entitled to give that opinion. But you can't continue ripping everything they do just to rip everything they do.
Right, correct.
So, you know, you have to be honest, and I think that this offseason has been shocking. It's been amazing.
Even Gary Tangway, contrarian to, I mean, hot take flaming Tanger, new column, WEI.com, Tangway, Mac Jones is Tom Brady. And he goes, it's a 300-word column. He really went into it. How anyone could be unhappy with the Patriots picking Mac Jones is beyond me.
That's already 10 words. What's left?
The guy is Tom Brady. Bad body, accurate passer, football smart, loves the game 24/7. And that's basically the column. But but the body is. He has never lifted a weight in his life.
Oh, he looked good at Topgolf. I mean.
How does that happen? How do you play at Alabama for 2 years and the weight coach just doesn't care? I guess if you're a quarterback, it doesn't matter. I don't know.
Maybe he's into pliability.
All right, was Mac Jones Bill's plan all along? Was Cam Newton actually the plan and it failed? I would like to explore that a little more. Plus, you teased receivers here on day three. And
I have a tweet from Ben Volen, which may be the first mistake the Patriots made this offseason.
That's next on Kenny Curtis.